grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in the middle of a series of sermons here at St. Mark's under the theme of Welcome, Welcome. And we've looked at Welcome the Son, Welcome the Other, and today Welcome the Messenger, based on Matthew 11, 2 to 11. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your messengers of old and your messengers of new, and we thank you for the message they bring, the word. Lord, we pray your blessing over us now as we receive and meditate on that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we welcome the messenger, both John the Baptist and Joseph the Vicar. One from the wilderness around the Jordan, one from the Western Australia town of Geraldton. Not going to draw too many comparisons there. But John and Joseph have this in common. They come to us as messengers of Christ. They come to us as proclaimers of the Word of God. They come to us as heralds of glad tidings. Isaiah writes, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." Now, I can't vouch for the beauty of Joseph's feet. I don't know him that well yet. I imagine John the Baptist's feet weren't particularly beautiful. But the point Isaiah was making is that it is a beautiful thing to be and to receive and to hear a message of good news, to be a proclaimer of good news and to be people of the good news of Jesus Christ, which we are. It's a beautiful thing. It's a welcome thing. It's a task. It's a challenging task at times. It's a unique task at other times, but it's a blessed task all the same. This morning, through the experience of John, and I hope for the encouragement of Joseph and for our working together with him, I want us to consider the particular challenges of being a messenger of God, the task that's given, and the blessings that are received. So the challenges faced, the tasks given, and the blessings received. Now, the last time we met John, if you can think back to last week, he was boldly proclaiming the message of God out in the wilderness. And people were flocking to hear that message and to confess their sins and to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. John was speaking with great audacity to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and accusing them of their self-righteousness and their smugness. When we come to today's reading, we might think, boy, how the mighty have fallen. Where do we find John today? We find him in prison, behind bars, sending a message through his disciples to Jesus, saying, are you the one who is to come, or should we be expecting someone else? Times have changed for John. He's traded in his camel skin for prison wear. The same boldness that made him such a great preacher out there in the wilderness has got him in trouble with the authorities in Jerusalem. You might remember he advised King Herod that he shouldn't be having an affair with his brother's wife, which one would think is quite good advice. But Herod didn't think so. And so John lands himself in prison. Now, when John hears word of Jesus' ministry, he sounds all of a sudden incredibly uncertain, unsure. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we be waiting for someone else? Now, isn't this John's area of expertise? Isn't this his bread and butter? Predicting, prophesying, pointing us to the coming Messiah? Isn't this his whole purpose? And all of a sudden now, at the crunch moment, John seems incredibly unsure about everything that's taking place. He strikes me as a presenter at the Oscars who's lost his place. Maybe the auto cue's turned off or something. You know, the winner for the award of Messiah goes to... wait, is that him? Is this name right? All of a sudden, John, who's the one we expect to know exactly what he's talking about, seems to be lost, not be sure if this is the one who he's been talking about all along. Now, in a moment, Jesus is going to sing John's praises, really talk John up, But for now, at the beginning of our text, we see something of the doubt and the difficulty and the challenge of one of the all-time great messengers of God. He's in prison for doing his job, right? He's rejected for standing up for the word of God and the law of God. He's uncertain about his own calling, and now he's totally reliant on these disciples to even reach Jesus, the Messiah. In a strange way, I've always thought that John's difficulties and doubts and the opposition he faces and the sin that was no doubt a part of his life as well and the uncertainty he goes through in his life of faith can be an incredibly great encouragement to us. This is the guy who's supposed to have it all together. This is the guy who's supposed to get Jesus. And he doesn't find it easy at times. And he has doubts. And he has difficulties. That reminds us that all people do. All Christians do. All pastors do. All vicars do. Right? Messengers of God don't come to us as sort of perfect people. They come as real people. Real saints, real sinners, people who need real encouragement, real admonishment, real forgiveness, real guidance, real grace. That's how Joseph comes. That's how I come. That's how all the people of God come. What's priceless about the example of John is what he does with those doubts, what he does with those difficulties. Where does he go? John shows us that when we're going through things like this, when we're experiencing stuff like that, there's only one place to go. He goes to the source. He sends his disciples to Jesus to get some answers. What better place to take our doubts? What better place to take our difficulties than to the only one who knows all about them? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John shows us that doubt in the Christian life, uncertainty in the Christian life, struggle and sin in the Christian life are not dire, so long as we know what to do with them, where to take them, to whom to direct them. And so John gives us a pattern, an example, he's called in the epistle reading. Take the prophets as your example. This is what they do when they're in difficulty. This is what they do with their doubts. They take them to the source. Now, when the disciples go to Jesus, what we see in Jesus and his response to them and subsequently his response to the crowd gives us a really great insight into John's task and by extension the task of every Christian messenger and by further extension, in some respect, the task of every Christian person. So what does Jesus say? Firstly, about John. He says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? What did you go out there to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Right? Someone who's just back and forth. A yes man, you know, a people pleaser. Someone who's just going to go along with whatever. Is that what you thought John was going to be? Because it's not. We know that. Then what did you go out there to see? Someone dressed in fine clothes? You know, someone who's more trendy than just true to what they're supposed to be doing? That's not John. John doesn't look the part, but he is. Would you rather someone who did look the part but wasn't? What did you go out there to see? Jesus says. A prophet? Yes. For sure he's a prophet, but more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it's written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Now a messenger is a herald, someone who runs ahead to deliver a message for someone not yet there. John has come to preach Jesus, but for now, just for a moment, Jesus preaches John. Talks John up, backs John up. Supports John in his ministry. John needs it. We all need it. One commentator writes, the world praises people to their faces and talks about them behind their backs. Jesus does the opposite. Jesus does the opposite. Now, all the evidence in John's ministry seems to suggest that he is failing miserably. Right? He's in prison. He's a herald. He's supposed to be speaking to people and he's locked up behind bars. And Jesus says, John is anything but a failure. Because John is doing exactly what John was sent to do. He's a messenger. He wasn't supposed to be Herod's yes man, right? He wasn't supposed to be Israel's people pleaser. That's not what he came to do. He was supposed to be a messenger from God. And as we know, one should never shoot the messenger. Of course, we try to from time to time. Herod did, right? Herod did. Herod did even worse than that to John. Herod had him beheaded eventually. There's an encouraging word for Vicar Joseph. Welcome to the ministry, Joe. Don't lose your head. All right? But this is real life. This still happens today. I read an article recently about two Christian pastors in Ethiopia who were beheaded, just doing their ministry. Stuff still happens, right? Jesus says, even before he talks about the task of John, he talks about the task of these disciples, these mini messengers. He says to them, go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. These disciples, which I think in some respect can represent all of us and any of us, are sent back to John with this very simple task, in one respect. Go to the man in doubt, go to the man in difficulty, go to the man in despair, and talk to him about me. That's the task that Jesus gives these disciples. Go back to John and report what you're seeing and hearing. Why? Because John knew what the Messiah was going to come and do. John knew all the prophecies. John knew all the signs. John knew everything to look for. Jesus says it's simple then. Go tell him that it's happening. Go tell him what you see and what you hear. Frederick Brunner writes, in practical terms, the dynamite of faith for our congregations and our families is simply a more faithful exposure to the words and the works of Jesus Christ. What do we need to know? We need to know about him. What he does and what he says and why. So, Vicar Joseph, one of the things I've learned in my ministry so far, and then forgotten, and then learnt, and then forgotten, and then learnt again, is that it's very easy to overcomplicate the task of the messenger. It's very easy to think it's more or less than it actually is. What does Jesus say to John's disciples? He says, go back and tell them about me. Go back and tell them about me. That's it in a nutshell. You can't always please people. You can't always affirm people. But what you have to do is tell them about Christ. And let him take care of the rest. I think that's the ministry we're called to. And in some respect, I think that's the ministry we're all called to. Is to go back into our homes, into our workplaces, into our spheres of influence. And talk about him. Talk about him. That's what he asks the disciples to do. And then he adds this interesting blessing on the end. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, blessed is anyone who hangs in there with me. That's it. Right? One commentator says, all of a sudden, Jesus seems to pitch his tune very low. He puts the cookies on a shelf that John can reach. Right? He promises in so many words, God bless you, John, if you do not throw in the towel, because I'm a different kind of Messiah than what you're expecting. Blessed are you, John, if you don't throw in the towel because you're going through some hardships. Blessed are you, John, if you don't throw in the towel because maybe being a Christian or a Christian messenger is not everything you expected it to be. Blessed are you, John, when you realize that. Jesus blesses all those who hang in there with him, despite all the reasons they might have for doing otherwise. And he goes on to say, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Talk about a blessing. Not just for John, not just for the messenger, for all of us. Talk about a blessing. He says this is the grace of God, right? Not just for the messengers, but for any who receive the message. You know John the Baptist, right? There were prophecies written about this guy, you know? He was a bold proclaimer of the message of Christ. He stood up to the authorities, told them exactly what they didn't want to hear. He was faithful to his dying day. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He was related to Jesus. And Jesus says, and you know what? You're even greater than he was. When you're baptized into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, and when you hang in there with your Lord for your whole life, he turns to you and says, greater than John the Baptist. You're blessed because you're part of the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we have this idea of like the messengers of God or pastors or vicars or missionaries or whatever they are, and we think, you know, they're kind of closer to God. They're up here somewhere. What does Jesus say? The least in the kingdom of heaven, that's the smallest, the one in greatest difficulty, greatest doubt, greatest struggle, the most insignificant to the world, is greater than any messenger of God, because they're a part of the kingdom with God, with the messengers, because they've received the message. You see, what is all important here is not the messenger, but the message we have received. And the message we have received is one that tells us to hang in there with the one who hung in there for us. Despite doubt, despite difficulty, despite sin, despite struggle, none of that could stop him going to the cross for you. In fact, that is the reason he did it. Blessed is the one who says, who does not stumble on account of me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you reserve your greatest blessing for us when we feel we are at our least, at our worst, in doubt, in difficulty, in despair. Lord God, remind us that you send your messengers to proclaim a message of grace, one that lifts us up, one that reminds us of your love, your mercy, and your peace. Lord, help us to cling not to them, but to cling to that word that you have delivered to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.